Hotel Ronnie Strong.
When you're ready.
Great, Boketov everyone. So the purpose of this Chabura today is to look a bit about this comparison of Shabbos and Yom Tov in a kind of holistic way. to work out, which of those two should we be more machmir for in terms of tachlis, and I think the point here is that actually when we look at all the stuff we've seen, it's actually, there's kind of, signs that point this way and signs that point that way. So kind of, it's trying to resolve that. So let's go from the beginning. So, oh no, that's the old one. I'm sorry. Apologies. That's an old one.
Fine, we got one.
So I should have used that more anyway. Apologies. So in our Mishnah, we've got this din of Mishilim Peyus Dercha Ruba Beyonta Abar Lo B'Shabbos, which means that in order to kind of save fruits, that they're going to get rained on, so you're allowed to lure them through a skylight. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So from Rashi, it seems as if what's the kind of the issue in terms of with Shabbos, that's so to speak not the issue on Yom Tov. According to Rashi, this is tircha shelo lesora, that you're doing an effort here, and it's not for the purpose, the needs of Yom Tov or Shabbos. You're not going to eat these fruits, You're just trying to save the fruits. So where it comes to something like tircha shelo lesora, what we're saying is that on Yom Tov you can do kind of a small amount, You can lure the fruits through the skylight. On Shabbos you can't do anything, right? So it comes out from that, we see, that Yom Tov is more makel than Shabbos in that regard. Now, even on Yom Tov, we know that there are limits to this. So you can kind of push it down the skylight so it falls down the skylight. You're not allowed to kind of lift it up and put it through a window. But at least there's kind of you are allowed to do kind of a small amount of, so to speak, tircha shelo letzorech. So that's what comes out from the mission. Now the Gemara then comes along and says, is there a limit in terms of the quantity that this applies to, the fruits that you're going to be pushing down the skylight? So it suggests that maybe we can actually learn from another din, from a din that we see on Shabbos about clearing out an area for the needs of learning, little basin medrash, or for the needs of housing guests. And there's an opinion there, the Gabi, that din, for Shabbos, that you can only do four to five boxes. So the suggestion here is, We see there that din Shabbos that you can kind of you can do a certain amount of tircha, 4 to 5 boxes. So should that limit also apply in respect of our din, right? Call it tircha shelo lesorech, saving these fruits, on Yom Tov. And the Gemara basically being studying the Kan. So for instance, there it says, well, maybe there is for the needs of learning guests. That's the kind of, a more important need, And that would justify 4 to 5 boxes, But here maybe, you shouldn't be allowed so much because you haven't got such a pressing need, On the other hand, it suggests, Maybe here you've got monetary loss, Which itself, by the way, is interesting. The Mefarshim tried to tackle that because seemingly monetary loss shouldn't be as important as the issues of Bittul Beis Medrash and Hakmasas Horkrim. But okay, that's maybe another thing. So maybe here for sure, you would be able to allow 4 to 5 boxes. And then another consideration is brought is that maybe or there on Shabbos the din is you allowed 4 to 5 boxes, but here on Yom Tov there's an issue which is Ati, right? This lizard, that you'll come to be mean. Why? People come to treat it lightly. Because Yom Tov is more lenient, and people see it as more lenient, And therefore we're concerned, that people, if in relation to Yom Tov dinim, people might come to treat it lightly. So in fact it comes out therefore, according to that svara, on Yom Tov we should be more stringent. Okay. So far, let's recap, So we have the din in the Mishnah that says basically Yom Tov Tachlis is more lenient, right? Then we have the question about the Shirim, and one of the svaras there is, right, Achilles Lizzy, which that would end up saying that Yom Tov should be more stringent, and not be allowed to have 4 to 5 boxes, okay? And now let's bring the last piece of the puzzle. We then ask later on, coming on to Lamed Vav, a different question. Yeah? There in that did of Shabbos about clearing the area, right? We say that you're not allowed to clear the whole area, right? Such that you're going to kind of expose the floor area, right? Why? Because there's concern, right? It's lashed lashuvei gumos, yeah? That if we allow you to clear the whole area, maybe someone will get kind of, you know, they're carried away with what they're doing, yeah? And they'll come to, you know, they want to get the area ready for people to come in, and they'll see kind of, you know, uneven bits, and they'll come to level it out, and oi, that's potentially mlacha deraisa, yeah? So in relation to Shabbos, the din is, yeah, you're not allowed to clear the whole area, you have to leave a layer, right? So we ask, what about our act of clearing fruits on Yom Tov? Should that be the same thing or not? Yeah. And what's interesting is, yeah, that when we come to that question, right, we bring kind of a seemingly kind of new set, slightly different sets of considerations. Yeah. So, you know, we say, for instance, yeah, maybe there is only a problem on Shabbos. Why? Because it's more chamor. Whereas Yom Tov is more lenient, so maybe we shouldn't be worried at all about it. Yeah. That's interesting. So again, here we've now got a svara to say that the din should be more lenient on Shabbos, sorry, on Yom Tov, because Shabbos is more chamor. And we don't bring at all, yeah, the kind of, the svara which we had, which on its head the other way around, right, which is ati lizazuli, yeah, that actually we should end up being more stringent on Yom Tov, because ati lizazuli, that seemingly, that's gone out the window, yeah, or down the skylight, if you want to say, yeah. So basically, you know, and then also we then say on the other side, yeah, maybe, right, there on Shabbos, yeah, we're stringent, yeah, even though there's bittul beis medrash, yeah. So here where there's no bittul beis medrash, kind of kol shekein, yeah, we don't bring the svara of monetary loss. So it's kind of, you know, it seems as if kind of, you know, different svaras are bought, but taking a kind of a step out, yeah, what do we have? We have, in terms of what's more kind of, what should be treated more stringently overall, Shabbos or Yom Tov, yeah? So on the Mishnah we see clearly, yeah, Shabbos is more stringent, Yom Tov we more makel. Then we get to the Gemara, and the question of four or five boxes, yeah, we've got a svara going exactly the opposite way, yeah? That Yom Tov should be more stringent, yeah, ati lezilzule, right? And Shabbos should be more lenient. And then we get on to the last part, Ashvei Gumas, and we've got, again, the flip svara now, yeah? We're saying that Shabbos perhaps should be more stringent, and therefore there's a problem with Ashvei Gumas, whereas Yom Tov we should treat more leniently. So effectively, the svaras seem to contradict, and we want to see if we can come up with a way of explaining why sometimes we get to the maskana that Yom Tov should be more lenient, in din, and sometimes we come to the maskana of the opposite svara that Yom Tov should be more strict in din. So that was the question. Now the answer is based on
can we just focus on the cases now, just for being
sure. So shall I recap?
No, just those two. Right.
We've got three cases. So. Right. We've got the actual din of our Mishnah, right? Which is, are you allowed to do? Let's call it for Rashi's in Rashi's language. Yeah. Are you allowed to do tircha shelo letzorech? And there we're going to say on Yom Tov you can, on Shabbos you can't. Which therefore shows us that Yom Tov Tachlis we treat more leniently. Then we've got the second case, which is, yeah, in terms of looking at Shiurim, yeah, do we have a limit of four and five boxes, yeah, when you basically different cases where you're doing Tircha, right? So we've got a svara to say, right, that on Shabbos you can do up to four and five boxes, yeah, but on Yom Tov, yeah, you can't do, you shouldn't be able to do four to five boxes, i.e. we treat Yom Tov more stringently, and that's because of, right, ati lezalzule, right? And then third question we're dealing with, right, which is, are we worried about clearing out everything, yeah, right, because of ashvei gumas, because of leveling, yeah? And there we've got a svara to say we're only worried about on that on Shabbos, i.e. Shabbos we treat more stringently, and not on Yom Tov. Right, so we've effectively got two cases where we're saying Yom Tov, we kind of end up treating potentially more leniently, yeah? Mm-hmm. The Mishnah and Ashvei Gumas. And we've got one case in terms of the four or five boxes where we're going to treat Yom Tov more stringently and say maybe it shouldn't have four or five boxes. Okay. So basically, the main answer to this is based on, right, a Ginzei Yosef, which is one of the Mefarshim in the back, yeah? that Rabbi Yahu showed me. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's kind of, he's putting together some kind of some stuff from basically the Rashba and the Shita Mukhabetzes. And when you, but the kind of what I need a bit of help with from you guys a bit is actually understanding what those underlying sources are speaking about, because it's not entirely clear. But you know, Mitzvah Shem, you know, let's look at that a bit and see if we can come to some kind of Havana. So the first thing he quotes is the Rashba. So the Rashba, actually, he's asking on the first section. He's asking on the contrast, yeah, of the din of the Mishnah and the Savara of Ati Lezalzuli, yeah, that we bring in relation to four or five boxes. Yeah. So Ati Lezalzuli seems to say we should be strict on Yontif, and yet the Mishnah itself shows we're more lenient on Yontif. So how can we have these contrasting Savaras? And basically, he brings a klal. He says that when it comes to what he calls Ikre Malachas, yeah, actual kind of main Malachas, yeah, we know that we're more stringent on Shabbos than Yom Tov. Yom Tov, yeah, we've got, we know that there's a din, Duraisa, yeah, right, of Ochel Nefesh, right? That basically, certain Malachas are going to be completely permitted, yeah, because of Ochel Nefesh, Matoch, so on and so forth, yeah? Whereas Shabbos, obviously, all the Malachas apply. So when it comes to the Ikre Malachas, yeah, we're more stringent on Shabbos than Yom Tov, yeah? However, in contrast, yeah, when it comes to things which you know, within both Shabbos and Yom Tov, sometimes the kind of thing is permissible and sometimes not, yeah? And the question is basically, you know, drawing boundaries, yeah? So there's a svara to say, a counter svara to say that we should be more strict on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. Because on Yom Tov, yeah, we're concerned, kind of, so to speak, the very nature of Yom Tov that people see as more makel, therefore pushes us the opposite way. Where kind of you have to make boundaries, and you know, some things are permitted, some things are not. Those kind of areas we're actually going to end up being more stringent on Yom Tov because of the svara of Ati Lezalzuli. So okay, so that's basically what the Rashba says. The question is, why is the din of the Mishnah, why does it come within the first category of, so to speak, Ikre Malachas, where we know that Shabbos is more stringent than Yom Tov? Yeah. So the truth is that for me was not entirely clear. Yeah. And if you go with another pshat that's brought in terms of explaining it in the Mishnah, it may be a bit easier. What's the other pshat? So Ad Kan we talked about Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat of the Mishnah is it's what's called Tircha Shalel Tzorech. Yeah, doing efforts with not for the needs of Shabbos or for Yom Tov, but you know, just purely for needs of fruit. But the Maharshah, and I think I saw this also brought in the Rishonim, yeah, suggests a different explanation. The Maharshah is actually coming from the same kasha, this first kasha, and he says the Mishnah is an issue of tiltul shalel tzorech. Okay, so what's the difference between tiltul shalel tzorech and tircha shalel tzorech? So tiltul is moving without actually having a need of Yom Tov or Shabbos. What's the difference? The difference is tiltul shalel tzorech is a problem because of a general kind of tilt problem which leads to hotzah, which leads to carry. So it's effectively...
Which we saw.
Yeah, well, we not only did we see, we're actually going to also see it again.
Yeah.
Marsha is actually, is it says on Lamed Zayin, it comes, we're going to see it again.
Okay, yeah.
Also, yeah. So basically, the issue is on Shabbos, yeah, it's actually one of the concepts of muksa, by the way, as well. Yeah, one of the svaras of why we're concerned about muksa. Why? But here, particularly, yeah, any kind of thing moving not for the needs of Yom Tov. So it's not necessarily muksa, right? But the movement of items, yeah, which has where there's absolutely no, let's call it pure hatzalah. There's no Shabbos Yom Tov dikka need. Yeah. So when it comes to Shabbos, we don't want to do that because if you're starting to move things around, yeah, willy nilly, yeah, then we're concerned you'll end up kind of putting things in your pocket or carrying outside, and it will come to a potentially derisive malacha of hotzah. So if that is the concern in the Mishnah, moving these fruits, you know, just simply moving them, yeah, without any Shabbos or Yom Tov need, yeah, we could understand, yeah, that hotzah is a problem for Shabbos, but it's not a problem bichlal on Yom Tov. So therefore, that would explain what, according to the Rashba, it would work out of Shmak. When it comes to Ikre Malachas, yeah, one of them is Hotzah, we know that Yom Tov is more lenient than Shabbos. So since this is basically related to the Malacha of Hotzah, it's kind of a fallout of the Malacha of Hotzah, so we understand, therefore, why on Shabbos you can't move the fruits even to push them down the skylight, because that's Tiltul Shelo L'Soref, whereas on Yom Tov you can. Now there's then the secondary question, which is, okay, you can do this kind of thing, Tiltul Shelo L'Soref, but there's still a secondary question of how much Tircha you can do. That's a secondary question, yeah? And that, therefore, is the question when we're looking at four or five boxes. Now, when it comes to Tircha, yeah, this now will be explained by the Rashba's second klal, yeah, which is things which are sometimes permitted and sometimes not. There's a certain amount of Tircha you can do, right? But we all know that, you know, that there's not meant to be doing major Tircha on Shabbos Yom Tov. So where is the dividing line? And on that kind of thing, yeah, that's where the second klal comes along. So when it comes to Yom Tov, yeah, we're concerned that things where you have to make a dividing line and you have to do boundaries, sometimes it's permitted, sometimes not. A certain amount of tircha is permitted, certain amount not. There the klal is Yom Tov should be actually more stringent because we're concerned of Ati Lezil Zule. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I understand what Tiltul Shelo L'Soref. I don't understand the L'Soref part. If you do Tiltul, you may come to do what's up. Regardless of whether it's a Soref or L'Soref.
Right, but we know that we're not going to prevent you doing all types of tiltul. I mean, if you're moving things for Shabbos Yom Tov needs, they're not muksa, and you know, we're not going to prevent you doing that, right?
Rashi asked a question, right?
Yeah, but why are you more likely to go outside?
Because the truth is, you're getting back to the ikrith issue of muksa, yeah? the point you're saying is a very good point. If you look at learn the Gemara about muksa, yeah? The Gemara in Shabbos, yeah? The truth was, there was a certain stage in which we were extremely stringent, and we almost said in Achanami, that basically kind of any tiltul you can't do.
Yeah, and that's a piece of wood.
There was also an issue of using wood, even though it's not technically muksa, but that may be that you can't use it for other things. That may be related as well. What I'm saying, that in terms of that Gemara and Shabbos, yeah, it ended up being that, you know, although you could say for Hotzah purposes a kind of a gzeira, which would be even extreme and say even things which are Hotzah, but basically you can't really live with that. Yeah. So it ended up being that for muksa purposes, we narrowed it down a lot, yeah? But even within muksa, you know, there is a klal of muksa which is where it's muksa things, yeah, not necessarily pasha that you can move all muksa things around for no purpose at all, yeah. But anyway, that's a slightly. But the point is though that here it comes out that you can move things that you need for Shabbos purposes, you want to purposes, right? As long as they're not muksa. That's the general kind of point, yeah. But here the point is where it's not for Shabbos purposes, yeah, and that's the fruit. Here there's, you know, the fruit, if you wanted to eat this fruit, yeah, it would be no problem at all, yeah? But here you're just doing it purely to save the fruit. There's no Shabbos Yom Tov need, it's just a Hefsed Mamma.
Right. Yeah, because Rashi said on Yud Beis, he said, a marshal of Gozra al Kola Tiltulim, and what the word Gozra and all Tiltul, meaning in theory is asking what you're saying, Gil. Basically you should oyster everything. Right, I feel like Ochlin and Kalim, even on like food and vessels you need. Mishum she'ein goyzrim gezeira al tzibor. You're not making a gezeira on the tzibor, elim came rove tzibor yochim la'amad ba. Unless the majority of the people can withstand it, it would just be too... whatever.
We drive ourselves mad. Right. So basically, that would be one way of understanding the Rashba. Yeah. I think, however, right, that you know, I think it would be possible to squeeze the Rashba also into Rashi's Peshat as well. So again, Rashi's Peshat being not like the Masha, that the issue of the Mishnah is because of a Tircha Shelo L'Soref. So it ends up being this kind of Tircha Shelo L'Soref is completely forbidden on Shabbos, but it's permissible on Yom Tov to some extent, and then there's a question of how much Tircha. And I think maybe you'd say that even though he's talking about Ikri Malachas, the way I understand it is, where you have to look at there's a question of is this Inyan applicable, is this permitted or not, yeah, in terms of binary, yeah? So on that, we'll be more stringent on Shabbos than Yom Tov. So in terms of, can you do Tircha Shelo L'Soref Bichlal? It's a binary question, yes or no, yeah? So on Shabbos, maybe you would say no, and on Yom Tov we would say yes, right? So although it's not Ikri Malachas, I still think it's something which is kind of, you know, the concept as a whole.
Binary. excuse my.
It, can you do tiyuchah shelo letzorich bichlal? It's not right. Within. It's not that, you know. The contrast is, yeah. Let's say to tiyuchah itself, yeah.
Right.
If let's say, you know, the inyan of tiyuchah sometimes will be permitted, sometimes not. Yeah.
Okay.
But the question is, as an inyan tiyuchah shelo letzorich, can right. You do tiyuchah letzorich bichlal on either Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Okay.
It's like it's an inyan in its own right, yeah. So when it's it, where it's a binary, it's an inyan of its own right. It's a binary question. It becomes like a melacha, yeah. Can you know?
I mean,
can you do
asur
mutter? Asur mutter,
right?
Like just as you say, hotzar is a melacha. Can it be done in Yom Tov? Can it be done in Shabbos? Yeah.
Right.
So here, so to speak, a rabbinic melacha of tircha shelo letzorich. Can it be done on Shabbos? Can it be done in Yom Tov? Yeah, either yes or no answer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would be cue like a ikre malacha, and therefore, yeah, on Shabbos mm-hmm. The answer would be no. The Yom Tov answer be yes. But when it comes okay. To something like, you know, tircha, where you know the general question of tircha, where some degree of tircha is always going to be allowed, but not, you mean you have to set boundaries. So there,
where you have to draw a line, basically.
Where you have to draw a line. There, Yom Tov would be more stringent. Right. Okay, so that's the Rashba, yeah? Now the Shita Mumba Kubetz brings the Rashba, and he's bothered though. He says that Rashba works for that first stage, kind of, you know, between the contrast between the Mishnah and the four and five boxes. But he says it doesn't seem to make sense for the next stage. The question of Ashvei Gumus, yeah?
Totally clearing out the...
Totally clearing out. And I think the reason why he says that is because I guess the reason why he's asking is because he sees Ashvei Gumus as a question of how much can you clear out? Right,
he's looking at the barrels kind of thing.
Yeah, he's looking at right. He's looking at. He sees that as being a question of doing boundary lines. Yeah, right. I know you can clear out, but can you go all the way down to the floor or not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels that.
No, that doesn't make sense. You have to go down to the floor as an octave in space. You just can't clear the whole floor. You can't leave a layer of boxes in the floor because a kupa is.
Well, I mean, yeah, kupa's not necessarily. Yeah, kupa's, by the way, kupa's not necessarily got boxes there. It's just you're using kupa's to take things out, but it could be yeah. It could be like there's kind of hay or whatever, yeah, whatever's there. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a certain amount you have to do. You're right. And I'm not saying, what I'm saying is that, but the question is, do you have to leave a layer at the bottom or can you go all the way down or not? Yeah, but I think the Shita Mukhabetsa, when he asks on the Rashba from this case, he's seeing that, so to speak, as within the category of boundaries, yeah? In which case, yeah, then you should apply the klal of Ati Lezilzule and Yonta should end up being more stringent. But as we said, in the case of Ashvei Gumus, we forget Ati Lezilzule, we leave that out, and we just say, no, maybe there is because we're stringent on Shabbos. So he asks on that. And instead he brings a kind of, you know, a different approach, yeah, talking about Gezeris as opposed to not Gezeris. But I think that still I would suggest that you can use the Rashba, and I think this is what the Ginzei Yosef is saying, to apply even for Ashvei Gumus. Why? Because basically what Ashvei Gumus is really is a Gezeira, right, because of an underlying Malacha. So if you say, right, the underlying Malacha is, as we said, Bona, right? So maybe where the question is, yeah, can you do something where we're concerned you'll come to do an underlying Malacha, right? So far as we're focusing on the underlying malacha, right, there that comes into the category of ikri malachas. The ikri malachas we know, right, we treat Shabbos more stringently than Yom Tov. So here the question of, you know, are we worried about clearing out the floor and coming Lashvei Gumus, yeah? That concern, the degree of concern we have may differ in terms of how seriously we treat the underlying malacha. Right, you hear that? In terms of, you know, any kind of gezeira. Right. So, insofar as if you were to do things accidentally and you know get carried away with things and end up being Ashvei Gumus on Shabbos, the malacha you're over is a very serious malacha. It's malacha of mezid would be skila. So, even shogeg, we're very concerned about that. Yeah. Whereas on Yom Tov, it's kind of a love. Yeah. It's just love. Yeah. So you know, it's maybe we're not going to be so concerned that you'll come to do that with shogeg. Yeah. So I'd suggest that. And in fact, if you just finish off, yeah, if you understand, go back to that Maharsha's Peshat, yeah, it's actually quite similar in a sense to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah that we're talking about, Tilchu Shelo Letzorich, that is itself in a sense a Gzeira. And what we're trying to say is the Gzeira is because of an underlying Malacha, because of a Hotzar. Now it happens to be in the Mishnah, Hotzar is Bichlal not a problem of Yom Tov. So that's why we can understand, that's it's really, we're looking at the underlying concern, which is a malacha, and that's what we call ikra malachas. And legabe hotzah, it's very clear. Hotzah applies to Shabbos, right, but not to Yom Tov. So therefore, we're stringent on Shabbos and not stringent on Yom Tov. When it comes to Ashvei Gumus, bona, right, even though it applies on Yom Tov, but it's definitely much more stringent on Shabbos than Yom Tov, but it's a similar concept. It's doing things which might come to the underlying melacha. So again, the klal would be the same. We're stringent on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov. And therefore, all we're left is the middle case where it's tircha, yeah? Where how much tircha you can do, and there we apply the other klal of Rashba, that since it's not an all or nothing, it's just making dividing lines, there we have to be more stringent on Yom Tov, yeah? Because of Atila Zilzule.
Very nice. Thank you. And thank you, Israel. Israel has been very busy this week moving boxes around. And still he did a chabura.
Not maybe then.
Yeah, I'll move. So, just temporary basis.